What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
You're listening to the Prescription for Purpose podcast, the go-to space for everyday women to go from surviving to thriving by pursuing a purpose that's truly rooted in faith. And now, we're also becoming the premier space for Christian coaches and therapists to finally learn how to integrate faith into their practice without being churchy or limiting their audience. Each week, we'll merge biblical wisdom with practical everyday application so that you can be empowered to excel in every facet of your life and business. Are you ready? Let's get started. Hey, sis, and welcome to another episode of the Prescription for Purpose podcast. We are back with part two of our Wisdom for Workplace Warfare episode. And last week was a time we talked a little bit about spiritual warfare in the workplace, how God is calling a lot of us to learn how to endure. Our endurance builds resistance. Resistance is how you defeat the enemy. Go listen to last week's episode. Go listen to James 4 and 7 if you are not feeling caught up on all other things. And we started really looking at these Bible studies, or Bible stories rather, where we learn about different wisdom and different strategies that God has placed in the Bible for us to really be successful at work. Last week, we talked about Daniel. And we talked about Joseph, and we walked away with just some spiritual and some practical strategies for y'all. This week, we are looking at two more stories. We're going to look at the story of Nehemiah, and we're also going to look at the three Hebrew boys and really look at what we can learn in regards to our work from their stories. Then I'm going to share some wisdom with you from my own career, just different things that I think are really important for you to understand and to incorporate if you are dealing specifically with warfare on your job. Okay. So the rule still stands about my voice. Okay. Pray for me. These pollen demons are trying it, but God will prevail. Period. So let's look at first the story of Nehemiah, okay? For those of you who don't know, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the Persian king. He finds out that the walls of Jerusalem are in ruins, and he asks the king for permission to go and rebuild them. He gets the authority from the king to go do it and the resources. That's a word. And he faces opposition from local adversaries who mock and threaten the builders. There's part of the story in Nehemiah where the people, like, they're having to walk around with swords on, trying to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And so Nehemiah, he organizes the people to build the wall, and he also does this while setting a team in place to guard against attacks. And through leadership and prayer, the walls are completed in 52 days, and it really is a demonstration of Nehemiah's leadership, his strategic insight, and really just his trust in God. What does that mean for us on the job? We have to really learn how to develop service and leadership, right? What we see spiritually is that Nehemiah prayed, took action, and planned, right? We have to understand that without communication with God, without praying and asking God for the wisdom and the strategy to go do the things. He prayed. He then sought the king. The king gave him favor. The king gave him resources. And then even once he had the resources, a plan still had to be developed. How many of you are feeling not seen, not heard on your jobs, but you're one, not being prayerful before you go for that promotion, before you join that special project, or if you have been sitting on a project or something that God has been calling you to do within the organization, that thing that is getting on your nerves and God has given you the wisdom and the strategy to solve it, and you've been sitting on it because you don't feel like you're going to be heard. How many of us are being prayerful, taking action based on what God says, right? That's the whole point. When we talk to God in prayer and he responds back to us, he expects for us to move when he speaks. And then when you get the resources, are you planning properly? A lot of us get into situations at work. We miss deadlines. We, even in our businesses, because we're not planning. We just be doing stuff. You're booked, busy, and broke because you're just doing stuff. God is a God of strategy and order. And so we have to make sure that we are really being mindful when you're given a project, when you see, when you're leading a team, right? You want to make sure that you are praying and being intentional to seek God's wisdom. And then you want to make sure that you're being strategic in your planning and your execution. I also love too, in this story with Nehemiah, what we see is he was motivated not by his own personal gain. Like, what things are you doing just to make life better for other people? Just to make the business better that you work at, simply because you work there, and not only because you're trying to get more coin. I understand that someone else is getting paid, et cetera, et cetera. But there are times where God will have you make a suggestion, have you do something, and you are deflated or feel defeated because you did it with the expectation that you were doing it for money, and you weren't doing it merely with the heart posture of, let me serve, and realizing that God is the ultimate rewarder. And so a lot of us are selling ourselves short because we're going to work and doing like the bare minimum. Again, y'all know I'm here for boundaries, but that's different than you doing bare minimum. What does that look like practically? When I first started my current job, I was doing what's called like EHR. I was doing like an admin day, and I was helping other providers clear up some of their admin tabs, et cetera. I heard my boss say, here's the sheet with all the names. One day I'm going to alphabetize it, but I just haven't had time. But here's the sheet that you need. I took the time at home to alphabetize the sheet and email it back to her because I had time. Right? I was working from home that day. I had finished up all of my EHR tasks. And I was like, let me go ahead and alphabetize this sheet. It was something that God dropped in my heart. I did it. She called me crying because it touched her. She's like, people don't typically go out of their way to help me because she's the lead clinician. They just kind of dump on her and no one checks in and asks if, hey, is there something I can do? And I didn't do that for any kind of recognition. I didn't even anticipate it to be that impactful. But it's just me wanting things to be easier and better for all of us. So we have to be mindful that in going above and beyond, that doesn't necessarily mean that you are being abused or trampled over. But are you really engaging in work initiatives that are going to benefit people outside of you, outside of your household? Or do we only do things because we're motivated by money? And if that's your motivation, is it spiritual warfare or is our heart posture off? We have to really be mindful of that. So in your day to day, one thing that we can really draw from is having to deal with opposition and do so in a way that's effective and not going to get you fired and not going to have you in jail. Okay. Nehemiah, he really dealt with some internal corruption. He dealt with external factors, and he was able to still do what God said in a way that was efficient and got the job done. 52 days to rebuild the walls of the city. When you're dealing with corruption, when you're dealing with distractions, even external things, you have to make sure, one, that you are being bold enough to not back down. And I mean that in a way that's godly, not in a way of you being boisterous or prideful. You have to make sure that you use tactful communication. Right? The Bible talks about us being upright in all that we do. And we need to make sure, even when I'm mad, I'm not ruining my witness. And then also being prayerful and coming up with a strategy to address something swiftly. I had an incident at work where there was just someone trying to start some mess. I was able to see it and I dealt with it tactfully, immediately, and effectively, and never had another problem. And so there's a way, and this person essentially was trying to slander my name a little bit. It was unexpected. But also the enemy be doing the things. I was able to not be so emotional and I saw what was happening spiritually. It was literally a matter of me texting one other person, clarifying conversation, sending receipts, and being done with it. And then everything outside of that was out of my control. And it worked out in my favor. Management came to me and was apologizing to me that I even had to deal with something that silly. So many of us lose our minds when opposition comes that we're not able to be effective. And so what you have to understand is, like, in warfare, you have to learn how to deal with opposition. It's war. So there are going to be ops. Right? Like, we're in spiritual warfare all the time. Ephesians 6. There's going to be ops. You cannot be so emotionally enthralled that you lose focus and you're not able to be objective. You're not able to deal with the situation. And I'm not saying don't deal with your feelings, but you have to move in faith. And we have to really even make our feelings submit to what God said. If he said that he will vindicate us, then that's what he'll do. And then you'll end up in a situation where God gives you clear wisdom on what to do. So you have to stay calm. You have to make sure you're communicating tactfully, and then make sure that you focus on your main objective. A lot of times we get caught up in politics at work. We get caught up in relationships and drama, gossip, right? These are all things we have no business being in anyway. I'm very well known in the office for saying I mind the business that pays me, because I do. I mind my Black-owned business. I have concern and care and compassion for people. There are people that I pray for. Anybody know that they can come and talk to me and their business is safe? And also, if I see a group of y'all sitting around chit-chatting, I don't care. Because if it doesn't have anything to do with me, my granny used to say, my name Bennett, I ain't in it. And a lot of us walk into warfare situations because we're out of order. We're having conversation with people that really don't matter and does not add to our quality of life at work. It's not adding to the assignment there. Whether the assignment, my assignment at work, physically or in the natural, is for me to come and provide loving care for patients. Loving care is our value system. So I'm making sure I'm hitting that. Spiritually, God has called me to that place to be a light. And I need to make sure that I'm upholding both of my missions, both of my main objectives. I'm here to be a light in a place where scary things happen, dark things happen, in an industry, in healthcare, where there isn't always a good representation of someone who is good at their job, but also will pray for you, right? I've had that happen even within the last week. I had a family where the dad passed away, and I was able to do the visit, do what mom needed. And then I also asked her, hey, can I pray with you? I really feel led to do that, and did it. And if I'm busy, caught up in the workplace drama, I'm not achieving both of my objectives. If you don't know what your spiritual objective is for your job, that might be part of the reason why the warfare doesn't make sense. Because I know that God has called me to be a light in this place, when drama happens and people try to slander my name, it makes sense that I'm being tested to see how I will respond. Right? I understand that because God has called me to be light, of course, someone's going to try to trample on my name. Right? But I make sure I keep receipts. I do the things. Because I am aware of the assignment. Do you know the assignment that God has for you on that job? Have you asked him? Have you asked God about the assignment and why he has placed you there? Because there was a time at another job where I complained to God every day about that job, and something in my spirit, and I know it was Holy Spirit, told me I need to change the way that I'm talking about this position. I need to be asking God, what lessons do I need to learn here? What do you need me to do to serve your kingdom while I'm here? And how do you want me to do that? Once I started doing that faithfully, I had more peace at work. And this was a job that I hated. This was right out of grad school. And it was not a good clinic. It was a hot mess. God told me to treat that practice as if it were mine. I grew that practice, did all the things. And within 6 months, God removed me from that situation. And so I say that to you the same way Nehemiah understood, okay, I'm a cupbearer, but also I see this going on and I want to spearhead this. I want to restore the walls of Jerusalem. Let me talk to my boss, the king. They granted permission and allowed him access to resources to do it. You have to make sure that you are able to do both. You need to understand the mission for you at your job and be clear within your job description. Like, do the things that you're supposed to do. Are you fulfilling your obligations, doing your CEUs, doing everything that you're supposed to do with the job? Because sometimes the warfare is self-imposed. The devil after me because I got rolled up. You were chronically late. You were in drama. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. That's why they have the evidence to write you up. That's not warfare. That's consequence. And so we have to make sure that we're being mindful of that. Make sure that you are also building organizational and personal leadership skills. Because you can take those things with you elsewhere. Nehemiah had to be aware of everything that was going on, but clearly was good enough at his job, had enough interpersonal and personal skills for him to be able to make a request of the king of another nation, right? He asked the king of Persia for the ability to leave his post to go build the walls in Jerusalem. And that comes from him having a strong reputation, having good leadership skills. He was able to lead that team of people, even in opposition, because he had good leadership skills and was able to really be effective in what God had called him to do. And a lot of us are frustrated in our position, but we're also not taking advantage of the resources that are there. What free trainings, what type of tools do you have access to? But because you're so caught up in leaving that job, you're leaving unprepared and you're not leaving with the extra things that God has placed for you. Y'all know that meme with Denzel Washington. He's like, I'm leaving here with something. The last job that I left, I was not a fan. By the end, I just saw some things in the natural and spiritually that just was not, it was not okay. And I mean, I'm serious when I say I love God's people. So it just really was bothersome to me. However, I told y'all last week, I did my doctoral project there. In that, I gained my certified breastfeeding specialist certification. I took all kinds of certification opportunities that they had available. I maximized that. No one can take education from you. So while you're fussing and fighting and warring, could God be trying to build up leadership skills and even tangible skills, spiritually tangible as well as naturally tangible, that you can get at this job a lot of times for free? Are you taking advantage of that? That is an effective strategy. It's going to prepare you for the next season. All the lessons that you learn is going to prepare you for the next season. Don't be so quick to leave this season that you don't have what you need to be successful in the next one. If God hasn't released you, ask him to reveal why, or if that's even his will for your life. The next story is about the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I love this story in Daniel 3 because it really demonstrates the importance of having a dependency on God. We have to remember, and I said this last week, your job is a resource. It is not the source. And I'm going to share this story with y'all, quick aside, about how at my previous job, I was upset because I didn't feel like I was getting paid enough. And honestly, I wasn't. Not for the amount of work that I was doing. Not by the world standard was I getting paid enough. And what happened was I was talking to my husband about it and he was praying for me. I was in tears, just frustrated, felt undervalued, underpaid. I'm serving, I'm doing all the things and I'm doing it as unto the Lord, but I'm not seeing the fruit. It was frustrating. After 2 years of that, it doesn't feel good. And my husband said, hey, I need to talk to you about this. And what God told him was that the reason I was getting so frustrated is because I was looking at my job as the source and not as a resource. And I had to repent because he was correct. Don't think that your labor is in vain. Anything that you do unto the Lord, you are going to get more than you ever could possibly imagine. And that doesn't always mean material, tangible things. We place too much value on material, tangible things. We have to also remember, too, this is not our permanent home. It's important for us to have money. It's important for us to be able to operate here. But let's not forget that we're storing up treasure in heaven as well. And that's where we're going to be eternally. And so I want you to really take that to heart. Do that heart check. Are you treating your job like a god? Little g, not big g. Because if you didn't wake up in your right mind, if you didn't have the movement of your limbs, if you didn't have air in your lungs, what's going to happen with that job? You're not going to be there. And they might be sad for a second, but within 2 days, I guarantee you that job posting to fill your spot will be back up. So let us not forget who really employs us. Let us not forget who really employs us. Who puts us in position? Who gives us the assignment?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Whether you are in environmental services, all the way up to if you're in a C-suite position, you do so as unto the Lord, being fully dependent upon him. So in Daniel 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they are three Hebrew boys. They're in Babylon, and they are working for King Nebuchadnezzar, and they refuse to bow down to a golden statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had made of himself, right? And they defied his command that everybody had to worship it. And once that refusal got sent back to the king, he brought them to the front of everybody and said, bow down. And them boys said, no, our God is big, is great enough, mighty enough to get us out of the fire, because he was threatening to throw them into the fiery furnace, right? Our God is brilliant enough, mighty enough to get us out of that. But even if he doesn't, we still won't serve you. We still won't bow down to you. And so what ends up happening is Nebuchadnezzar has them turn that furnace up so hot that the person that threw the three Hebrew boys in, he died. He said, crank that furnace up. Crank that furnace up. He throws them in and they go in and they are unharmed. And while they're there, Nebuchadnezzar sees what looks like the Son of Man, right? It's the Spirit of God was in there with them, keeping them covered. And what ended up happening as a result, one, they came out unharmed, not even smelling like smoke. And then Nebuchadnezzar acknowledged the power of God and then ordered that no one should ever speak against big capital G-O-D. And a lot of us have been faced with situations in these organizations that may be corrupt, that may try to bully you into not being bold in your faith. And I want to tell you and remind you that you serve a God that will rescue you from the fiery furnace. But even if he does not, stand on what God called you to stand on. Stand on his word. Because as long as God is pleased, there is nothing that anyone on this earth, no demon or devil in hell can do to you. If God is for you, who can be against you? The weapons will form, but they will not prosper. We have to remember that we are to stand our ground even at work. If there's a project that you don't feel comfortable working on, don't. You can respectfully bow out. Hey, this goes against my faith. I'm not going to be able to serve on this project. It goes against my religious beliefs. And we're going to talk about that in a second. But I really want you to stand on business, stand on your father's business, and remember that God is going to continue to protect you. So spiritually, you need to be bold in your faith to never compromise. Don't compromise what God has called you to do for your own personal or professional gain. And then also make sure that you are putting your faith in God's divine protection. Like, you have to really trust in God, especially when you deal with like workplace intimidation, when you're dealing with ethical dilemmas, you have to put your whole trust in the Lord. Make sure that you are standing firm on what you believe. Do not waver. And then also make sure that you are using your influence or whatever position that you have to advocate for respect, to advocate for things that demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit within your workplace. Are we being kind? Are we being patient? How can you advocate for that? It doesn't have to be you going to management. It can be something as simple as, I said on here before, during COVID, the last place that I worked at, I felt like my MAs, they worked really hard and nobody, like, they weren't being compensated, etc. What can I do? I can demonstrate integrity and kindness. I started bringing donuts and calling it Fat Girl Friday. I didn't have to do it. I did it out of my own pocket. I did it under the supervision and instruction of the Lord, even on weeks when I was fasting. That didn't feel fair. But even on weeks that I was fasting, I would stop and get them donuts. And it meant a lot to a lot of people. I'm showing kindness. I'm extending grace, mercy, peace. When my MAs were, everybody in the front office staff, everybody's in the break room freaking out about COVID when it first happened, I had to come in there and reset order. Hey, I hear y'all. These are the things that we're going to do to make sure that we use wisdom. But what we're not going to do is stand here and be fearful. We're going to do what we've been called to do. I said, we're either going to believe God or we're not. I'm choosing peace because no matter how much I sit here and worry about this, it's not going to change what we need to do today. And it's not going to change what's happening. And baby, that office, we went back into shape. I hear y'all. Valid. Let's do what we need to do here. Here are some things that I'm doing. I'm taking my clothes off in the garage. But these are some wisdom things that I'm doing. Outside of that, girl, let's see these kids and do what we got to do in the name of Christ. So make sure that you're using your influence at whatever position you're at. I'm not telling you that you got to go and knock on the CEO's door every day. I'm telling you to utilize your influence right where you are. And in order for you to build and have influence, you have to have a good reputation, a godly reputation, in addition to relationship. You have to be approachable, right? You have to learn how to give the truth in love, give the truth with grace, and don't be abrasive. I don't know why we've equated authority and being abrasive in the body of Christ, but it's not. It's not. That's not what God said. He said truth in love. So why are you yelling? You don't even know them. You don't even have any like relational buy-in. So why would I listen to you? Like, let's make it make sense. So now you're in the manager's office because you didn't try to rebuke somebody that you barely talked to in the office. You offended them and they went to HR. That's not warfare. You're operating outside of the guidelines that God has given us. He said truth and love. You need to have some relational equity there before you go trying to talk to anybody. The girl who I said, maybe your church sucked. Before that, we talked about so many other things. We built relational equity to where she was able to understand my heart and see my character. So she knew I wasn't coming from a place of where I was trying to condemn her. It was just a genuine question. And a lot of us don't practice it. Like, that's not warfare. That's you operating out of order, and you're not going to be covered in that. So let's make sure that we are being mindful. Now, before we go, I want to give y'all my personal workplace strategy. And if you're a healthcare provider, nurse, you work in healthcare, you know this to be true. Document everything. Document everything. Okay? I'm sharing this. I'm not a career coach. That's not what I'm on. Okay? But I'm someone, I literally got my CNA license when I was 17. I've been in healthcare for 17 years. I have literally started from the bottom and now I'm here. And as a Black woman in the healthcare field, I've been put in some positions that I've had to endure and some I left, okay, for safety reasons, but some positions I've had to endure. And I'm grateful that God has utilized that to mold me into the professional that I am now. But if I had to give you one piece of advice, you chart everything, receipts for everything. Right? In healthcare, if it's not documented, it never happened. So whether that's text or email, I need you to keep receipts. I would recommend you doing this as standard practice, simply because it looks weird, right? If you all of a sudden now are doing this thing where you send back emails versus you doing it even for simple things. I don't want you sending red flags and then facing and dealing with retaliation. So make this a part of your standard of practice for all of your jobs where you keep receipts. When you ask questions, you send emails, you do the things. Make it a part of your standard practice so that way you don't risk retaliation if it's with someone who is trying to allow the enemy to use them. Okay. So if you have a in-person conversation or a telephone call with somebody immediately. Immediately. I mean, within the hour. Send an email, follow up. It can be something as simple as, hey, thank you for meeting with me this afternoon. I just wanted to follow up with some key takeaways that I gained from our conversation. List them out. Right. And then ask the other person to clarify if anything is missing, and if anything needs to be elaborated on. That gives them an opportunity to respond, but it gives you receipts. If there's a conflict, right? If something offensive has been said, send the email, not from a place of offense, but from a place of gaining clarification, right? What does that look like? Hey, in our conversation we had, you said that, I'm trying to think of something offensive that's been said to me. That's like not, most of the things that have been said to me or I've had to deal with had a lot to do with race, unfortunately. And so I'm like, I'm not even about to let myself go down that rabbit hole. But hey, you said to me that this happened in real life. Room 12's mom doesn't want any patient care techs because she doesn't want Black people caring for her daughter, and that we needed to oblige with her request for safety reasons. I wanted to get some clarification on what safety reasons, right, on what you're saying. I need clarification. Clarify to me what you meant. Because that email is one confirming, hey, receipt, you said this. And this happened to me probably my second year as being a patient care tech. This really happened. Me and this girl, Lauren, we both were Black student nurse techs. The mom didn't want Black caregivers for her daughter. And our white manager said, well, we just need to comply and blah, we just want to sign anybody to her. But then what does that say to us? And at this time, I had not implemented this this type of documentation, but I should have. Now, shout out to my charge nurses, because me and Lauren worked the same weekend. So this girl who had a trach and all, like, she literally would have no tech, made it harder for the nurses. And it just was a mess. But shout out to my charge nurses who was like, that's not okay. Now, did it continue till the girl was discharged? Absolutely. But at that point, I don't even want to be in your room because I don't have time for your mom trying to say I did or didn't do something that I didn't have no business doing. But I digress. I say that to use that example to say, if we'd had that conversation now, I would have emailed Athena and said, hey, in our meeting, you said this. Can you clarify what that means? I'm just trying to know where we're going with this. And that is something, even if you're saying, like, I just want to make sure that we have effective communication. It's not about being passive aggressive. It's really about you documenting what was said. It really is about you documenting what was said. And enough people, you do it enough, people will quit talking crazy to you. I'm telling you from personal experience. They will quit talking crazy to you immediately because you're keeping a paper trail. This document everything also goes into when you are doing things you're supposed to be doing, right? So when you go above and beyond, when you get a kudos, when you work on projects, when you get certifications, keeping tabs on extra projects, extra hours, all of that stuff is beneficial. Let's say you go in for your evaluation and they aren't trying to give you the raise that you're looking for. Hey, I've done all of these things. I brought all of this value. Here's the evidence. Here's the certifications. Here's the papers. Here's the emails from staff saying that I helped XYZ. And sometimes it's not even done intentionally. It's not that the boss intentionally is like trying to shade you. They just aren't worried about you specifically, right? They're just going off of maybe what they remember versus you having the documentation to advocate for yourself. So make sure that you document everything, good, bad, and the ugly. When you are documenting, facts only, your feelings do not matter here. I love you, sis. But when you are documenting, do not document what you felt. Because if we need to utilize these documents in court with HR, they need to be objective. That means facts only. That means date, time, and responses. If somebody said something, put that in quotes. Hey, Linda, when you said, quote mark, we're not going to have any patient care text for that patient because her mom doesn't want Black caregivers. I am trying to clarify, is this something that a request that we're going to be fulfilling, like for all patients who decide that? I'm asking for clarification. Facts. Facts only. Facts only. This isn't for me to be like, well, I feel like Black people. No. You can feel your feelings, but not in this documentation. You want it to be credible. So for me, I like emailing. I think it's the best way to document because you have dates, times, names, responses, read receipts. I personally like that. You can do text too. I have used that. But you want to make sure that you're putting exactly what they say. And when I say exactly, friend, I mean expletives too. So if somebody decides they want to give you a good clean cuss out, you email them. Make sure, and the expletive needs to be in there. You can do first letter, asterisk, asterisk, but it needs to be in there. Exactly what happened. And then also, make sure you're either printing or backing up those emails, like forwarding them to your personal email in the event that you somehow lose access to your work email. Like, you need to make sure you have a personal copy of the things. Okay? Be clear, be concise, be professional, include specifics, do it within like an hour. While it's fresh on everybody's minds, don't wait 2 days because you got to process your feelings. Take your feelings out. Do it now because it's going to be what's best in your mind, most recent in your mind, and we are dealing with it immediately. When I tell you, doing this is going to keep people from talking cash crazy to you. Believe me, friend. People are going to think twice, even thrice. That's 3 times before they consider messing with you. Yeah. Because you are working in integrity. You mind your business. There are going to be some fights that you're not going to have to deal with. Some warfare you're not going to have to deal with simply because your reputation is going to speak for itself. And then finally, I want to tell y'all about this, and I'll link it in the show notes. There is the Title VII Civil Rights Act of 1964. I want y'all to know that religious practices are covered under that, right? So that means that they can't discriminate. Employers can't discriminate. That means recruiting, interviewing, hiring, job assignments, termination based on your religion. That means having reasonable accommodations. So things like, let's say you go to church on Sundays and you're not able to go to church on Sundays, employers have the responsibility under this law to accommodate as long as the accommodation would not cause, and I quote, undue hardship on the business. So that could be like shift substitutions, job reassignments, modifications, whatever needs to be done that can be done without causing undue hardship on the business. They're responsible to do that. and also harassment. People can't make jokes. Don't jokey joke about my Lord and Savior. Don't. Don't. Because under Title VII, I don't have to deal with that. So you want to just really make sure that things like being able to say Merry Christmas, your job can't tell you that you cannot say Merry Christmas. Like, they're going to have to prove that it's such a disruption. But I say Merry Christmas, Christ, and that's covered and protected. And so I would definitely recommend that you, if you're having trouble, you need to find an employment lawyer who is well-versed in these things. This is just education. It's not information. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a lawyer. But I want you to know and be armed with practical resources as well. You can always check out the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, or the EEOC. Check out their website. There's also state labor laws and all of those entities that can help you if this is escalating beyond your control. You need an employment lawyer. You need to call the EEOC and the Department of Labor in your state. Document everything. Okay? Implement these strategies that we've learned between the story of Daniel, Joseph, Nehemiah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Make sure that you are in right standing and you're supposed to be doing what you're doing. That's the first strategy of warfare. Are they talking about you, or do you really be late all the time? Is it warfare because they wrote you up? You really be late all the time, friend. You really be on your phone and you're not supposed to be. You really are stealing time. So let's make sure that we are being upright ambassadors, representation for Christ. I pray that God blesses you and reveals to you everything that he's called you to do in your career for the kingdom. And I pray that this has really helped you in a way that will allow you to shift your focus and show up the way that God has called you to. Yes, this episode was a little bit longer, but I wanted to make sure you got all the tea, sis. Okay? So I love you. God bless you. And I'll talk to you next week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.